Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Darrenpool, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, flyovers, Peel High Streets, and the King Orry. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hi.
Plus newspapers, sales and distributions, Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
And Grace Burns.
I am.
How are we all this week? Good week, Katie?
No, not really.
Oh, God.
The weather has been my enemy this week, trying to get the papers to the island.
Of course, we are now on... both of our paid-for titles have been delayed this week.
Yes. Yes, they have, because of the old weather problem.
But you know what they say?
Get them online.
Well, that's also one of the well-known sayings. I was thinking, good things come to those who wait, don't they?
Yes.
Good week, Paul?
Yeah, pretty good.
You've just been out vox popping, haven't you?
More or less, yeah.
Talking about Christmas decorations.
Yes, oh, it was festive themed today.
There's a lot of Christmas decorations in Paul Rose.
Oh, that's what Paul, part of one of Paul's talk today was about. Is it too early?
Is it getting sooner?
Yeah. I feel like it's only gone early though, because this year has been so grim. I feel like normal years, I don't think anyone's really... Well,
no.
You'll have the odd one or two that are put up this early, but I think everyone's kind of jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I think there were lunatics doing this stuff last year as well.
Well, yeah.
I do think more
lunatics,
people...
Lunatics, maybe a bit of a strong term.
Christmas fanatics.
Yes, I think that would maybe more appropriate.
But people just need something to look forward to.
Fair play, fair play.
They've got the Strictly finals in a few weeks. What more do you need?
Good week, Grace.
Yeah, been pretty busy. All been fun and games, as usual.
Sam, I'll save the best to last. Good week.
Well, it's been a mixed week because there's international footy on, which I don't care about. Because I just want to see Liverpool play, and I don't really care about England half the time. Because I don't really like a lot of the team. But Scotland got through, which was nice for them.
Yeah, and then their form is just completely... The two, what was it, League of Nations matches they've lost since?
Yeah, they got beat by Serbia and Israel.
Yeah.
The mighty Israel.
Yes. Yeah, it was a shock result, actually. But yeah, and then... But on the upside, I'm a Celebrity's back on.
Now...
So that's really good, because I really like I'm a Celebrity. It's like the only reality show that I really like.
I happened across it the other night. My wife... asked if we could watch it, and I was like, go on then. So we watched it, and I'm not a man of violence, but I'd quite happily punch Jordan North in the face.
Yeah, do you not think, though, he's like definitely the person in Radio 1 that they all bully? Like, he's like being bullied in the office because he's just such a fragile soul. I just feel sorry for him.
I feel like there's so many things going on there. And like the fact that obviously now he's going to be nominated for every task, isn't it? Even last night, I saw a glimpse of it, and Shane Ritchie, he'd gone to the toilet, and Shane Ritchie was bullying him, like, while he was on the toilet, like, was making noises, and poor Jordan, because he's a bit of a scaredy cat, isn't he, couldn't go to the toilet in peace now. They're all just picking on him.
Why has he gone on this show if he is of such a fragile nature?
A very good question.
The money.
I'd say the money.
And they're raising his profile, because everyone suddenly knows who Jordan North is, whereas 2 weeks ago, he just sounded like Phileas
Fogg. 2 weeks ago, I just wanted to punch... what's his face?
Punch is not right. I should take that back. I don't want to punch him. I just don't like that.
Vernon Kay. I could watch him get punched
all
day. I love
Vernon Kay.
While using the noise from like Family Fortunes.
Maybe a bit extreme that. Yeah. There was a, before we move on to the Isle of Man news stories, which is of course the reason why you're listening to this podcast. There was a feature yesterday on BBC Radio 2 about whether it's cruel that they use snakes and bugs and all sorts of things in the form of entertainment on. What do you call it?
I'm a celeb.
And whether we should be beyond that this way.
I mean, you could never use cats or dogs in this way.
No, but they're saying that the snakes are probably quite stressed.
Yeah.
Because the one I saw was Jordan when they put them under the ground with the snakes. Did you see that?
I've never watched any episodes of it.
You're not missing anything, Kate.
He was screaming a lot.
And kept going turf war, didn't he?
Yeah. I think that was probably more disturbing for the snakes than the screaming was just the idea that they have to go to Burnley.
But they were saying these snakes are in there against their own will, and it's probably quite a stressful situation for them. So why is it, or
considered entertainment?
Yeah.
When it's just really animal abuse.
And
if they
weren't snakes, as you say, puppies or cats or something that aren't considered. What you
just the idea of being buried underground and 30 puppies get
if they were throwing them in with koalas, basically. Yeah. Angry koalas or kangaroos, people wouldn't find that so funny.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just sort of like how we almost categorise our animals as sort of, entertainment or almost like a commodity.
But surely this will get onto the debate of what vegetarians or vegans often come out with is, why is it okay to eat a cow but not a dog?
Yeah, fair point. But I just thought, yeah, what do you think, Sam? Should animals be used for entertainment in this purpose?
Yeah, why not?
That's what I thought you'd say.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on. The first story. Sam, are you doing this week's first story? Because neither of you have written on the script. Who's going first?
Yeah, we just thought we'd play around a little bit and just see what we could come up with.
Go on the hoof, as they say.
So I'll go for it.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about flyovers. Now, we've mentioned it briefly on podcasts in the past. This is a sort of story about potential, how we're going to get a new access road, maybe potentially changes to the TT courses. Courses. But this week it was the leader of Douglas Council has chipped in on the debate, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, well, there was the whole thing last week about the Womble idea for the TT course. The access roads would be going underground and overground. Wombling free.
Yeah.
And David Christian, leader of Douglas Council, has basically said, what a ludicrous way to spend money. Because we've got a lot of problems over here. I mean, what, the island by GDP was ranked the 8th wealthiest nation in the world a few years ago. We have a food bank. That should be seen as a national shame. But, so why are we spending money on this? It's completely pointless. And he's right. It's some of the ideas are mental. The idea of a tunnel coming up by the grandstand or a flyover across Summerhill Glen is just absolutely insane. Mm. So he's come out and said this and basically said, like, you know, it's 4 weeks a year, either put up or shut up, basically, and it's just make the actual access road wider. Or better yet, if you need to be somewhere at the start of the race, be there.
Very good advice.
There we go. It's a complete waste of money.
There was a debate a bit last week, sparked by our esteemed columnist, Pullyman, who has said, now, it's not looking likely that TT's going to go ahead next year, although there's been no definitive answer on that yet. Is it time for the TT to have it be knocked on the head? You know, what do people think about that? Is it too vital to the Isle of Man, Paul, would you say, that for them to write it off completely?
I think it's a bit premature to say, just because the pandemic has squashed it for the foreseeable future, that you want to end this 100-year event, which, you know, when you travel around the world, if people have heard of the Isle of Man, it's like, oh yeah, that's where they have those crazy bike races, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically a lot of our global reputation, so...
And cats with no tails.
Mm-hmm. That as well.
Yeah. What do you think, Kay?
I just think every other country that has an event, like a notable event, is in the same situation as us right now, where, you know, they've relied on, you know, an event for tourism for years, and it's every country is the same this year. Mm. It's not like, even though their borders might be more open than ours, it's not like you've had like huge music festivals happening, which obviously, like in Britain, like music festivals are a massive source of income to a lot of people.
Festival.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think just because 1 or 2 years where something global has been happening, there's no need to put an end to something which, not even for a financial point of view, just how many people are just fanatic about motorbikes and look forward to this.
So, yeah, well, they've been quite quiet, haven't they, the Department of Economic Development, and they've not said that there's going to make a decision anytime soon on the TT.
Department of Economic Development's been very quiet because it hasn't existed for 4.5 years.
What's it now then?
Enterprise.
Oh, yes.
You're Department so pedantic about these things sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's his job.
They also, you know, advertise with us, and they have little notices where it says Department for Enterprise on it.
Okay, Department.
So anyway, so they've been very quiet about the whole thing. I think there's sort of this dual balance here where if you just want the Isle of Man to be a tourist centre which has a Premier Inn and a Holiday Inn and that's it, then crack on. That's what you're going to end up doing if you cancel the TT. Otherwise, if you actually want an industry. And if you want a tourism sector which can survive, because it's not just them 4 weeks, because TT sort of and the Grand Prix is what essentially pays for the rest of the year. You're also looking at this year, there's a lot of footy clubs and rugby clubs who can get by this year without having TT or Grand Prix. But next year, suddenly, you know, it's whereas this year the rugby clubs haven't had to go off island, next year the RFU's already said the money's going to dry up and they're still going to have to book flights and they don't have the cheap deal they used to have with Flybe. So suddenly you're looking at Ramsey, say, going away. They've lost their income. Vagabonds lost their income. Douglas lost their income. So where do you get that money from if you don't have the TT? And I'm not a big fan of it personally. I don't really care. It's sort of one of them as a drinking festival for me, to be honest. But I get that it is very important to the economy, and without it we don't have a lot of hope of maintaining a tourist sector at all.
Do you think it will lead to any diversification?
I wouldn't be amazed to see the Manx knocked on the head for a little while. Because I just think to fit the TT into the schedule, it won't happen in June next year. It just won't. Not in the numbers. It could happen maybe August, September, I think. But so, the only way to do that is to knock the Manx out, which you then start looking at. If they move the TT once, of course, the TT, the rest of the world's motorway race sort of bends itself around the TT. So you start looking at going, what does it do then? Like, if it suddenly fills in that first week in June, the TT's going to have to move because the money is elsewhere for these companies. So,
well, there's one debate that's going to rage for a while, yeah, I would suggest. That story was in the about the flyovers and the Douglas Council.
It's in the Indy.
It's in the Indy.
So you can see it online with Katie's subscription at
iomtoday.co.im. iomtoday.co.im. Click on digital editions. £1.
£1.
Fish.
£1 fish.
Come and have a look.
Did we put that in the chat the other day? No, someone else sent it to me. I've never seen that before.
It's one of my favourite videos of all time.
No, I didn't realise it's gone on X Factor as well.
Yeah. And the crowd went mad.
What? He sang the same song, didn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, crowd pleaser.
So the YouTube video I saw...
Was him at the market?
Yeah, and it was like loads of people coming up for their photos before the video started, because he's obviously like a big celeb. My worry would be £1 fish, probably not going to be that nice, is it?
Probably not sustainably sourced fish.
No, no, no. I also got the impression that like he was a fish salesman by day, something else by night, do you know what I mean? I don't think he's out there in his sou'wester. You know, Fox, Batman. No, I don't think he's like a fisherman. You know, I think he's a salesman, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on, Paul. Time to head to the West of the Island, the Sunset City. There, sometimes you can see a seal. Peel.
And some dolphins.
And dolphins.
Yeah.
We're going to Peel, and Michael Street in particular, isn't it? And this week, planners have had their say on the new plans for Michael Street.
Yeah, on Monday, the planning committee unanimously rejected the DOI's plans to regenerate the street. And in this week's Examiner, we ran a piece on how, overwhelmingly, Peel business owners, especially ones on Michael Street, are very happy about this, and they called a victory for democracy.
So what was their main objection to the new plans? Because I think Sam's discussed them before. It was trying to make them a bit more, like they were going to put planters and stuff in there and more pedestrian friendly, wasn't it?
There was some criticism of, you know, the aesthetics of it. I think one business owner said, we don't want to turn Peel into another Milton Keynes or make it look like any other town centre. But by and large, I think business owners, they didn't disagree with the idea that Peel needed sprucing up. They agreed with the idea of improving the street, but it was these plans in particular, the fact that they would close Michael Street for possibly 9 months. And a lot of them said, they said they would definitely consider closing because unless there was a provision for parking, they simply couldn't sustain their businesses, especially after having lost out on the TT and the holiday period. They just didn't have the savings to make it through winter if they were looking at 9 months without all that parking.
So what they're saying is maybe more of a short back and sides than a one all over. Yeah.
And a provision for some kind of alternate parking. Because when you look at Peel, you got Athol Place, Michael Street, the Prom, and then Shoprite.
It's
they were pretty stretched as it is, and they said, you know, without parking, customers just... we can't get them.
It was remiss if those 17th century planners not to think ahead for the same 4x4s that people like photographer Mike Wade drives as well, isn't it?
Well, let's have a quick straw poll. When was the last time you went shopping in Peel, Katie?
It's been a while. I've been to Peel quite often, not shopping.
Mm-hmm. What would draw you to Peel in this regeneration plan?
In the regeneration?
What would you think? Oh, that looks lovely. I'll go to Peel for my shopping.
I mean, I don't think it would... I think I would go to Peel to... go to Peel in general, not necessarily to take a look at the pavements there or... I don't know what in a regeneration plan would draw me. Mm-hmm. I think I would go there for a specific business or event or friend that is in Peel or pub.
Grace, last time you went shopping in Peel?
It was actually, I think it was September, and we bought a sofa from Paradise and Girl.
There you go.
Oh. But I think that's the first time I've been to Peel shopping in years. So.
And plus, if you probably would have struggled to get the sofa if the road was short, wouldn't you?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Sam, last time you looked like a man that would shop in Peel.
I went on Sunday, actually.
There you go.
Did you get anything?
Well, no, because the shop I went to go see was closed. So I ended up at Shoprite to get some. I need some bits and pieces, so I went to Shoprite.
Small shops.
Subway was open. So I got a Subway, because I haven't had a Subway in months, because of course from here it's an effort to trek all the way to Peel and back, you know, I'm not going to make that my lunch hour, I went up there and I was going to get meatball marinara, and I made the mistake of getting this thing called, it's called like the Christmas pig or whatever they call it, it's something pig, and it's their Christmas sandwich, and it's like a sausage and bacon thing.
Oh, it sounds nice.
Is
there stuffing in it?
It's grim.
It's like a pig in blanket.
Yeah, yeah. There's no stuffing, there's no gravy, there's no...
It's a bit dry.
Yeah, it's hard. And then they're just like, oh, I want lettuce on it. I was like, yeah, because I want all the liquid gone.
So, I've had a strange salad encounter like that. I went to the chippy the other week, and my mum said, get me some scampi. And I was like, right.
Oh, that's the... I know, this is the terrace chippy.
Yeah. And they went, can I have a scampi and chips? Yeah, yeah. Do you want salad with that? And I said, sorry. I thought she was talking to someone else. And they went, do you want salad with your scampi and chips? I said, no, thank you.
I've never said yes to that, so I don't know what salad they give you.
Ever? No, I think I might have gone, what salad? And they were like, lettuce, tomato. I was like, no, not for me. But I was like, who has salad with a scampi?
See,
I don't even think a chippy would do a salad.
It's not even deep fried, Chris.
Oh,
it's
well,
just...
Yeah,
an Indian, sort of like once a month, and we got very confused because they send... what is like, you know, like dog muck bags, like that sort of size little bag filled with salad. I have no idea why, but it's like dry lettuce with like cucumber and tomato in it. And then there's a tomato, and I think this is to cut down on how much lamb's gone in the curry person, but there's a tomato in the curry.
Do you think that your perception of the salad is altered because you've now related the two with dog muck?
If it came in like a lovely, like... Alpine-esque salad container.
I'm ordering an Indian full of spices. Why do I want some tomato and a bloody rocket?
I don't know. Well, you know, if you can answer any of these questions, please do get in touch. At IOMU's podcast on Instagram and, of course, on Twitter. Slip into our DMs. We're always open.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, now for the feature that's sweeping a nation. Grace, time to shine. Would you rather? Now, last week we talked about the NSC.
The floats.
And the floats. And it sparked a very lively debate. So I don't know where you can go from there, to be honest, Grace.
Well, I tried to link it to whatever stories that yous are chatting about. So I'm going to apologise for this week because it is kind of grim, but it was the only thing I could come up with.
Oh, God.
So, would you rather... So every senior race day... for the next 10 years, you have to lick every rider's face shield. So they've got all the flies on it, and it's going to be nasty, and you have to do that.
Every rider?
Every rider.
So we're talking the sidecar race and the senior TT. So that's... So the sidecar, there's two.
Mm.
So that's 120, and then maybe another... You're talking nearly 200 licks.
Yeah.
Just so one lick.
One lick, and then on to the next one. Yeah. So you've only got to do that once a year for the next 10 years. Or cut off your big toe.
Inside or outside of the visor?
That's outside with all the flies.
So it has to be after the race or before?
After the race, after all the flies are like squished on it.
I'd do the visor.
Or cut off your big toe.
I'd do the visor.
Well, I think I would do the visor because then... You just said I had to lick, not that I had to swallow anything.
No, you did. It is part of the whole.
That was on my tongue.
You do have to swallow it.
A prosthetic toe's a thing.
It has to be a big toe as well. But that's one that's...
You lose your balance, don't you?
And you'll sense it when rain's coming and stuff. You'll get that. That you know, people who are missing limbs and things, they can sense the weather changing.
Can they?
Yeah.
What sort of voodoo magic are you talking
about? Mr. Kitchener's missing part of his finger. He can sense these weather phenomena.
Oh, the weather's changed. Did he ring you? Katie, I first felt something in my finger that's not there.
Like phantom limb. Like, right. It's more sensitive to changes in pressure and things like that. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I'm not making this up. I'm sure this is the thing.
Paul, you've been very quiet on the subject so far. Are you trying to weigh this up in your head?
No, it's absolute no-brainer for me. I mean, when you think about it, that's just kind of like an I'm a Celebrity-esque event. Once a year.
But you're not getting paid to do it.
You're not getting paid. You just look like that weird. Yeah,
but you don't have to, you know, mutilate and seriously disable yourself in a minor way.
What, would the riders be open to this? They wouldn't get restraining order on you, be like, no, oh, yeah, like everyone knows. Year, so that
there's that guy at the grandstand again waiting for our helmets.
But I think Grace has also done it on senior race day, so theoretically there wouldn't be any more riding at the TT after that. So she's probably like, oh, it does them a favour, it's clearing their bun. Yeah, clear.
Also, all the greater thumb bugs of the world are pushing us to eat bugs anyway.
Yeah.
So it could be in the future
extra
anyhow.
Protein.
Yeah. Okay, right, we're going to go around the table. Sam, toe or
Pfizer?
Pfizer, okay. Grace?
I think I'd go toe.
Toe.
I think toe, because I think the visor would just ruin my TT experience. Yeah.
Visors, without a doubt.
Definitely toe for me. Yeah. I just feel like you could contract some horrendous diseases off that. Because there's petrol and all sorts on the visor, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get involved in this week's debate, please do on social media. As I've already mentioned, we're on Instagram and Twitter at IOM News Podcast. That is another corker, Grace. I don't know where we go from here, to be honest, next week.
I think it's something, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
This week in history, Sam, we go back to Friday, November 23rd of 1945. The Isle of Man Examiner of that week. It's very jam-packed with lots of stories. The main picture, though, is the one that caught my eye, and it's the launching of the new King Otry.
Yeah, well, this is quite interesting, really, isn't it? Because I was looking for something to do this week. Weirdly, right, this is a really bad week for news. Like, every year I was looking through, and there's just nothing. But then this caught my eye, which is really quite interesting, is that this is the first British post-war passenger ship, which, as you can see there in the nice little subtitle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool that this is, like, it was built in Camelard, and it's just the first sort of, it's that sort of after-the-war sort of thing, isn't it? You know, trying to look forward. And the steam packet were getting to do that by launching a new ship. Of course, they'd lost, was it three they lost during the war? Four?
Yep.
So it's quite a nice little moment, and it's a big moment for the island, and a big moment for Britain, really. So, once again, the island at the front of the at everything.
So that was King Henry IV.
Yeah.
And if my memory serves it correct, the new ship, which we're getting in a couple of years, Paul, you are our sort of semi-naval expert, the new steam packet ship we're getting, one of the name options in the current poll that the steam packet running is King Ori, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yes, the Manxman, King Ori,
Mona's Isle,
and there's one other, Manxmaid?
Yes.
Yeah. So the latest King Ori could be our next ship. Or I say our. Well, I suppose it is, because we are
technically. We own it. Yeah.
So the King Ori IV was the one that was launched here. So wait, so there must have been King Henry the...
I think there was the...
Sixth?
Fifth?
Which was the white one that we will remember... Well, I remember from being a kid. Do you remember this? We were probably just on the cusp, weren't it? Do you remember it when you were younger?
No, I don't, no.
It's now laid up somewhere. I mean, Adrian found it the other day.
It's in Greece or somewhere.
Yeah, it's called, like, the Moby Love Boat.
Wow, the Moby Love Boat. Maybe that's what we should suggest to the steam packet for the next one.
I'm in.
Okay, what else caught your notice, I should say, your eye?
There's a couple of things, really. There's the optimistic outlook for the Palace Company. So this is who runs the Palace and Derby Castle, which was, of course, the big entertainment complex down at the far end of the prom.
And, of course, had their centenary celebrations at the Villa Marina on Saturday night, the Palace Lido. They had a big sellout gig there.
Yeah, they had that. I was like, in 1945, they did quite well. But, yes, they did very recently. And also... a bit of a weird one, which I find funny for different reasons, but is on the right side you got the Irvings had been selling off the famous farm up in Dalby.
Oh, where the spook lived.
That's the one, yes.
Jeff, the Dalby spook.
Which I actually saw well after I printed this off, but there you go.
And it was. It says that they were going to get Jeff when they bought the house.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah, there's not many auctions that, you know, they're negotiating over price of poltergeist, but there we go.
So it was 60 house and 68 acres, 140 quid.
It's a bargain.
Absolute bargain. I've spent that on a night out before, and all I've got is regret and a hangover after that, let alone a mythical talking mongoose. And, yeah. 40 acres, 68 acres.
What I quite liked about this was the whole thing about how they say about the auction, which is more interesting, sort of just how completely ridiculous it is that the auction was held between two chicken coops. They had to go all the way up there. And it's like, well, couldn't you have held it down the road?
No. Right. If you're interested, you got to make...
But it's not a very accessible place now. You know, it's...
Yeah, but you've got to show willing, isn't it? True. You're going to have to move there eventually.
True, true. Yeah. But then I just thought finally there was the final thing about flying tribute to the Manx Regiment, mm-hmm. which is quite good, which is the Soldier, which is the British Army magazine. They were doing stuff about the 7th Armoured Division, which is the Desert Rats, which the Manx regiment played a big part in, of course. Hector Duff was yep. in the Desert Rats. So it's just quite good that you've got how... obviously, this is just after the conclusion sort of thing of the war, this period, where they're sort of taking stock of what the Manx got up to during the war. So it's quite interesting period. It's quite an interesting period to look at as well.
And the most brilliant of subheads on the front page, which simply reads, "Shooting the hell out of the Luftwaffe," which was again was a tribute to the Manx regiment. Paul, anything caught your eye this week?
I was just looking at this bit, Serviceman's Right to Job, which is a bit of a grim story about a guy who was in both wars. He was a captain in the First World War, and then he was a squadron leader in the Second. And he's launched an appeal against the Ramsay Salt and Alkali Company to get his old job back when he got back from the war. And first off, I'm a little bit confused about his name. It says, "The Appeal by Victorian Jubilee Fishley." It's either the grandest name in the world.
Yeah.
Or he's a Victorian, and his name's Jubilee Fishley.
Either way, there's some... That's
not quite
sure,
either way.
Jubilee Fishley.
And it says, yeah, they've said, no, you're going to have to give him his old job back, because before they said, there was nothing which Mr. Fishley could usefully do. Now, I don't know about me, but
that's a backhanded compliment.
A military crossrunner from World War I, a squadron leader in World War II, seems like, you know, transferable skills. Maybe give him a little bit of a break when he gets back to the island. But no, he had to take them to court, apparently, just to get his salt mine business position back.
Okay, what adverts caught your eye, of course? Top left, Loud and Proud.
Hotel Sefton. I was looking, because obviously we are just 4 or 5 shopping weeks away from Christmas now, and in the bottom left corner there's an ad for RC Canes, where it's what to give is a problem that requires your immediate attention. And they have a list of suggested gifts.
Okay.
And I wonder if any of us would still gift these and think people would be happy to receive them. Handkerchiefs?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Well, my dad's in his 70s, so he likes
them. Oh, right, okay.
Like gloves. Yeah. Ties.
No.
Maybe for Paul.
Scarves. Yeah, Paul loves a tie.
I've got one on today.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
It's catching on, the trend.
I've got assorted bags.
Yeah, I'd be a fan.
Hosiery.
Hosiery. Yeah.
I think my mum's got me tights for Christmas, because I said that's not a Christmas present, Mum, and she was like, but you'd be happy if you opened them on Christmas Day. So I'm guessing that's
like a
I've
very,
got.
How functional, thank you.
Yeah.
This is a belting list, to be fair, keep going.
Cozies.
You missed out umbrellas and table mats.
I don't know what a table mat is.
It's what you put on.
A placemat.
Yeah,
but it's like a cork sort of thing, isn't it? So, yeah.
I think they mean like the decorative ones. You know, sometimes you get ones with like a seam
on. I thought it meant more. Yeah, that's what I meant.
You've already perused them in the charity shop before.
They have like a cork bottom and then like a wooden bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Normally like a nice painting of like a castle or a boat.
So you don't mark the table. If you've got a nice table and you've got a hot plate, you get like...
One of the top plates, when my grandma's still alive, you went round to hers. You had to have, if you're drinking tea, you had to sit at the dining table with one of them.
And a coaster.
And a coaster, yeah. Mm-hmm. And biscuits went on a plate that went on one of them.
What's a workbox then?
I presume it's like a toolbox.
It's a Duchess set.
Yeah.
Again, I was ignoring that because I have no idea.
Umbrellas would be a good one. I'm always looking for an umbrella.
And I take it, a romper is like a baby jumper suit.
Like a onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a onesie. So that was at RC Cane's. I feel like they've covered all bases there.
I think it's funny how they've had to tone down their advertising to what to give, because with this being November 23rd, after, you know, Hitler made his exit, they can no longer run the old Hitler slogan.
Oh, yeah.
So they were probably out of ideas there. And so,
this is RC Cane, who at the height of the war, of course, as we looked at last week, said, "Where is Hitler?"
Yep.
Who cares?
Well, we should also point out that I think that the advert next to it is a potential Christmas gift. To clear Britannia electric lamps.
Yep.
Mm. Would you be happy getting an electric lamp for Christmas?
In cases of 100 lamps.
I think that means bulb more than it means lamp.
Phone 536 now. Only 3 numbers in
that
phone.
Only 3 numbers.
That's mental.
Probably that many telephones on the island at that point.
Listen to one of Terry Kringle's old ones, and this thing where they had like the first 3 numbers in Douglas. and it said the abattoir was number two. So you'd ring Douglas 2 and it was the abattoir, and he was like the last person to give up that one number. Oh, when they moved it over to three numbers, he was livid about it and tried to hold on to it.
That's amazing.
So that was the front cover of the LMN Examiner of Friday, November 23rd, 1945. If you want to see it in all its glory, please do pick up a copy of the LMN Examiner next week on Tuesday, November 20. No, it's the 20th today, was it? Was 20...
Next Tuesday.
Oh, it's next Tuesday, Kate. 20 something? Next Tuesday's Examiner, anyway.
24th.
24th. And you will be able to see it.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, before we jet off into the distance, it's time for Yes or Training, Katie.
You haven't read what it's about, have you?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
I want to be surprised.
Okay.
It didn't say, did it?
I actually didn't want to tell you exactly what
it just says. 100 years since the start of ...
I'm in suspense.
Exciting.
Okay, so I was on Culture Vannon's Facebook page. This week they had this post stating that it has been 100 years since the first UFO sighting on the Isle of Man.
Shut the front door.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So this was story was first printed in the Manx newspapers of November 1902. And the gist of the story is that a man was... I don't quite know the details of this, but a man was walking some girls home late at night. And...
God.
On his return, he heard this great, like, clash and the sound, like, this loud noise, and it was coming nearer and nearer, and he couldn't see anything in any direction. So, naturally, he dived over a hedge to hide from wherever this noise was coming from. And it was from that hedge that he described a big wheel of fire that was going round at great speed. Then it went off in the direction of Ballacurry, and it was near there where it vanished.
Wow.
And of course, in 1902, this was not referred to as a UFO sighting, because UFOs and aliens were not really talked of that much. However, looking back, it is seen as being the first UFO story on the Isle of Man, and one of the first few to ever appear in the whole of the British Isles.
Wow.
Well, we're truly honoured with their presence.
Yeah. So if you do want to read the full story, and more like it, then you should get a copy of Ghosts, Beguines and Fairy Pigs. I'll Google Fairy Pigs next week, find out what that is. By Carl Roeder's Manx Notes and Queries.
That's, so wow. So he dived behind a bush and saw it going to Ballacurry.
What happened to the three girls? They was walking home.
Oh, he'd only walked them home.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They were safely in home. Wow. So there you go, first UFO. Have you ever seen a UFO, Sam?
But there was, afterwards, I was Googling sightings of UFOs on Isle of Man, because obviously we are a dark sky zone.
Of
we
course,
have some
yeah, we'll
stargazing.
Probably see them more clearly than others.
Well, there was apparently one, I can't remember if it was 2016 or 2018, which was considered to be a sighting.
We were here. We could have seen them. Have you ever seen them?
Not that I'm aware.
Not when
of.
You were walking some girls home late at night?
No, I tend to just throw them in an elements taxi and make my way home myself.
I don't know whether that is.
Rephrase, Sam.
Off you go. See you later.
Right. Insight into the end of Sam's night there. Paul, you ever seen. You live in the wilds of Blath. You must have seen the UFO.
No. I was just thinking it just doesn't have the same kind of magic to it, the whole 1945 Roswell American thing, you know, like. The Starvey Farm, 1952 UFO snatching. Ooh. Farmer comes out drunk, sees his sheep being dragged up with the tractor beam. Just not the current same kind of New Mexico desert.
We have that mystery murder about yours. You remember that we talked
Postman.
About the guy on the one? It was Balasella, wasn't it?
Who disappeared?
He disappeared. That perhaps that was a UFO.
Yeah, maybe he was abducted.
Yeah.
No, there you go. Grace, you ever seen a UFO?
No, I wish I.
But you really? Believe in it, yeah. though. That's one of the main things.
Yeah, but I feel like once you tell the story, no one believes you.
I always think, right, if UFOs were going to come to Earth and want to find out as much as they could, but didn't want to be sort of like observed, then they go out into the sticks and find someone who people aren't going to believe anyway. So, like, because you think about it, right, if you wouldn't turn up in London and start, like, interviewing, like, a top banker or something, would you? Who's going to go, like, you know, you wouldn't go and, like, interview the governor of the Bank of England who can go on TV the next day and goes, you're not gonna believe what happened to me, right? You're gonna go out to like somewhere like Garth up in the hills there and be going, so what's going on, what's occurring, right? And then they tell you, and then you let them go, and then the next morning they're like, guess what happened to me last night? It was an alien. And everyone's going to go, shut up, Kev.
You spent a lot of time alone there.
We've stumbled something here. Just by chance, we might have uncovered something. So you were right. So where could we say is in the sticks? We were using your theory, Dolby. Maybe it came as a mongoose. And it was named itself Jeff.
A very human name.
And started interviewing just in this as an alien. And it's actually an alien.
We have cracked it.
Jeff is an alien. There you go.
Wow.
The talking mongoose is actually a Martian.
And on that bombshell.
Right, what's coming up on next week in the examiner, Sam?
There's loads of stuff.
Always
loads. There's so much, it's unbelievable. So, there's some fantastic stuff from Timwald that we're getting around to. In the Courier, we've also got an explanation of how MHK is going to pay Ross.
Yep.
Lovely for them. Bad times for the president. No, his money's going down. But, loads more to say. We've also got Adrian's been in court all day. Got a fantastic story there. You're going to love to read it. Love to read it. Fantastic story. And there's loads of other stuff. And you'll have a lot of sports stuff from the weekend, of course. And Grace will be doing stuff. And everyone will be doing
Paul,
stuff.
Paul, have you got any particularly interesting stories for this season?
Yeah, we covered the launch of Charity Live at Home's new nice little community initiative.
This made me cry the other day. This is a lovely initiative, which I will just skim over briefly. It's encouraging maybe some of the elderly population who are alone during this time of year and to go into a coffee shop and sit down with other people and just have a little bit of a chat. So you
just
can
on their own?
Yeah, no. So you come in and they look for people that have got these mugs.
This is like in Fleabag.
Is that what they do in Fleabag?
In Fleabag, she has a cafe, doesn't she? And that's one of the things they have is... You know, a lot of cafes have, like, you can have a sign on the table, which means, like, I'm sat here on my own, come and have a chat with me.
Oh, well, is this exactly like that, then? But they
did.
They sent an email out with an animation that made me cry, because it was, like, this old guy, and he was, like...
Yeah, it was launched in the Five Costas yesterday,
right.
And what they're doing now is inviting any coffee shop that wants to attend. They'll send them the materials, give them the mugs with the bees, that's the important thing, it's bee-themed.
Oh, right, bee-together.
And it's a nice little initiative.
Would you get involved with that, Sam? Would you be a red or a green card? Would you like encourage
Sam would be the one walking in to find a friend to sit with
after he's pushed the rest into the statue.
No, I'm not a very social person.
I feel like a lot of people do chat to you though, whether you like
it
or not.
I don't know what it is. I seem to have a face that looks like I care.
It's because you look weathered. You look like. You look like you've seen things.
I look like the sort of person who gives you unsolicited advice while I'm playing a fruit machine. Hello.
Anything in the world of distribution and sales that we should be aware of, girls?
There's some big things happening in the next few weeks.
We've got 12 gifts of Christmas starting in the Courier tomorrow, so you can get the first voucher in the Courier, and then you've just got to collect 9 from the Manx Independent and the Examiner over the next few weeks. Great prize. We've got £250 ShopRite voucher, £250 lifestyle.
New tyres.
New tyres. Like hampers from Tinwald Mills, Co-op. We've got like staycations.
Everything.
Can people send in
hosiery?
Cozies, placemats.
Right, well, that's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. The UFOs and all that. And Jeff the Mongoose, who is now an alien, as we've discovered today. Until next week.
Bye for now.